Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts. Weekdays, 10 to noon on Athens Sports Radio, 960 The Ref.
It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. David Logan along with you. And Coach D in the house. We'll get his soundtrack. He wanted to jam out with some Pointer Sisters to get it going. Hey, Coach.
Yeah, this one right here, this typifies me.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
There you go.
Hey, I'm excited, man. Going to the SEC Championship 3 straight years, a turkey. We're going with it. You know what I'm talking about? That's bowling jargon.
3 consecutive. How many times have you bowled a turkey, Coach?
Not a lot, but I have on the duck pins, you know, where you used to run those little small ones. You've probably never heard of duck pins, but.
I'm not even sure what those are.
Those are miniature big pins there. And
oh, okay. I
got
you.
Those at the YMCA there in
Burlington.
My father-in-law was a left-handed bowler, man. He could throw some spares and strikes. He was good.
Can you clear up kind of a rumor that's been going around?
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
That, you know, what Kirby said after the game, how about them dogs, that you taught him how to say that. Is that true or not?
Yeah.
How about the emotion of that? I love it.
I can't take any credit for that, what I taught him. But, you know, it was an emotional deal, and he apologized. You just got to be careful what you say. But in today's society, I mean, you just seems to be some words that a lot of people use that they didn't used to use in everyday life. That, you know, who knows? But the main thing was, it was an exciting time for Georgia football, because that was a really good team in a hostile environment that we dominated, and give them credit for coming back. But the reality is, to do what he's done here in 4 years is just remarkable. The staff, the players, and what was exciting too was the predominance of youth that was really played a big part in that victory. So. You know, we can harp on a lot of things that went wrong, and we'll go over that. But the bottom line, had a great preparation. We're really focused on what we had to do. And I just got to give a lot of props to Camarja for his big-time game. Just turned the field around the whole three quarters there. You know, they were struggling field position-wise. And when you got a team that's not a good running team, there's no way you can make Auburn a good running team right now. They just don't have the backs. Then it really puts a lot of premium on them to throw the ball. And until the fourth quarter, they didn't have any really, except for the first two passes of the game, they didn't have any passes where they caught the ball and ran with it over 2 yards. So we were all over them.
What's up with the Gus Bus? Didn't he write a book about offense? Didn't he – What's going on there?
Might have been a coloring book.
I mean, it's like, what's
but
going on?
You know
on
what
with
happened?
That?
I mean, he did, but what happened to it? They had a fire at the library there, and that book and the two coloring books burned down, so they lost that one. But that's an Auburn joke. But
hey, I love it.
You know, he's a very good offensive coach. There's no question about it. But you know, bottom line, he's 2-7 against Georgia. The bottom line, he's lost his last 5 games to the Eastern Division teams. You go back 3 against us, 1 last year against Tennessee, this year against Florida. So they're talking about the East supposed to be the weaker division. He's lost five straight games, and he's getting paid $7 million a year. He was 3-5 in the conference last year. He's going to be 4-4 this year, albeit he's lost some good teams. But defense has carried him for him. I mean, Coach Steele, Rodney Garner, those guys. I mean, that defense they got's one of the best I've ever seen, and they played us. Beside their front, their corners are really outstanding. You know, they've been there forever. So, you know, I don't know what the deal is with their offense. They've always been good when they've had a mobile quarterback. You go back to Cam when they won a national championship, when they got the kid that transferred from here. He was good when they had the kick six. But they just don't do a lot with their running game right now. They had a pretty good running game 2 years ago with that kid that went to the pros, but I don't know what the answer is, but they run a variation of the spread, but it's more of just nickel and dime screens behind the line and things like that.
Also, credit to Georgia's defense for stopping that run game with a lot of very young guys right now. N'Kobe Dean all over the place. Tyreek Stevenson had another big game, big sack on the night. Just everything around the Georgia defense. Trayvon Walker, the true freshman, sealing the deal. They're in pretty good shape for a while now, aren't they, Coach?
Yeah, and they're going to really be in good shape when they bring these three defensive linemen that they got coming in, and hopefully we can get Zacavius Walker, who's coming in for official visit this weekend, a big defensive lineman that's a lot like Trayvon Walker. You know, I like these guys that play high school basketball that are D linemen that can run and dunk. I've never seen a D lineman that can dunk that's not a great player, or I've never seen a D lineman that can do a cartwheel or a back flip. It just shows you their flexibility, their explosiveness, and you got to add Monty Rice and Crowder in there too. Monty Rice, big, it was SEC Player of the Week with all his stuff that he did. So, just a lot of kudos to Dan Lanning, the staff, Kirby. When you look at Auburn's football team and the kind of team they've had. We went seven quarters against them without them scoring a touchdown. I mean, you go back to last year, they had, you know, they scored the first one of the game, and then they didn't scratch after that. And then this one here, they went into the last quarter. So I guess it was six, but just a lot of interesting stats there that really signify. But you always talk about this show, and people listen to it about coaching points, but you talk to your team, which Kirby did last week, about field position, turnovers, and all that. We've just been outstanding in not turning the ball over this year. I don't know. You guys can look up how many we've had. But
hadn't had one since the South Carolina game.
But we certainly did in that game. But throughout the year, we've just been – I know Hudson Bennett threw a pick, but we've only had four passes intercepted. And I don't know how many lost fumbles, but you got the stats there, Logan. But we're just a very smart football team, and we were good about the penalties the other night, although a couple stupid penalties in the kicking game that were really bad. You know, we got 15-yard penalty on a punt return, which cost us, and then we got a 15-yard penalty on a punt where we had a net punt of 56 yards, and then you lose 15, so it becomes 41. So 30 yards in penalties there, and we had a couple of motion penalties on the punt team, but you know, those are going to happen once in a while. These guys are trying to get set up and all. But the 15-yard, we just can't have those.
Let me ask you quickly as a coach. I've noticed numerous times the last several weeks and a couple of times against Auburn, a delay of game penalty would come out against Georgia as they're getting ready for a punt. How does it seem so – I'm not suggesting it's a major problem, but how do they lose track of the time like that?
Well,
who is that on?
The guy that's back there is not the normal guy watching the clock. You got Jamari Salyer back there, who's an offensive lineman directing the deal, and he's trying to get everybody set. And we've got different calls up there. You're going to switch from man to zone on one side, and you're going to switch to what we call speed on the other side, where you snap it fast. You're going to you got a lot of different variables because you don't know how they're going to rush. So our protection's based on what they're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. So you'd a whole lot rather have a delay a game than you would a block punt. So I don't worry about delay a game on that near as much as I worry about it, you know, in real time. Mm-hmm. And particularly if the ball's on the 50 or, you know, close. But if you're backed up, it hurts you a little bit. But it all gets down to getting your team simulated. to snap the ball and protect, because protection, you got don'ts in the kicking game. Don't line up offside, don't hold, don't be in motion, things like that. But and then the last thing is snap the ball, you know, don't have a delay of game. But it's just, we got a great kicking game. Mm-hmm. Scott Fountain, it's a little bit of luster to his victory too, because he's an ex-coach there at Auburn along with Dale McGee, so they kind of like going in there to Jordan Hare and pulling Gus's pants down.
Well, as we mentioned, Jake Camarda did win SEC Special Teams Player of the Week, or as me and Dave call it, the Rodrigo Blankenship SEC exactly. Special Teams Player of the Week.
Exactly.
They just went ahead and renamed it for Rodrigo, and now Jake has won it too. And Coach, he was, you know, he had a – you know, there's a lot of freshmen do. That was a tough year for him last year. And he's come back, and he's really improved.
There was a lot expected of him last year, and he did some good things.
Yeah.
But, you know, our offense was rolling so much that most of the punts he had were, you know, 50 yards or less, you know, as far as trying to kick him inside the 10. So it's hard to have a great average. And then he had the one bad situation against Texas where he dropped the ball on the snap.
Had his knee down.
And he had a poor punt. But he's really, I give a lot of credit to Kirby sticking with him and building his confidence, because he didn't get off to such a great start this year either. But he did really – he's come back. And if you punt the ball 11 times for a 50.5 average, I mean, that is really outstanding. I mean, it's hard.
And especially in a game like this where field position is so huge.
Oh, yeah, it was throughout the game. They were just struggling for different ways to – you know, generate offense, and they were always backed up, and we did a good job with that.
The Dogs getting set to take on Texas A&M on Saturday, 3:30. That we'll have for you right here on the Ref.
We got eight lost. We had four fumbles and four interceptions, but we've only had 11 gained. So that's not that great. We're plus three, but you know, eight turnovers and 10 games, that's pretty strong.
Well, Bama, as of a couple of weeks ago, they were like plus 13. They were so far ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, they really have.
By the way, the Tua injury, feels terrible for him.
The one thing that I don't miss about coaching is seeing one of your players go down. It just breaks your heart to know how they work, what they do, what they mean to the program, whether it's first team or it's walk-on or whatever it might be. It just makes you – everybody involved is so knows what it takes away from that kid's life. And in the case of Tua, you can go back and forth about why he should be in and why he shouldn't and all that. But we've created a monster here with this BCS playoffs. People want margin of victory. They want to see all these points. I mean, they're fighting to, with that loss, they're trying to beat people like a tom-tom, and they're trying to get all these points so they can, because they're behind the eight ball right now. When they were in that game, I mean, they're looking outside in, Alabama is, and there's always – the chance, but with Utah and Oregon out there, and then you got looming with us, which I feel good about our chances here to make it too. So they got a really tough road to hoe. But getting back to Tua, from what I understand, everybody starts talking about the Bo Jackson injury, but the difference is Bo kept trying to play and just created a lot of scar tissue and areas and stuff before he had the actual surgery. They got this kid into Houston and put him under the whatever they did, and did it quick. So supposedly he's going to have about a 2-month rehab, and then he can start back. But he's just going to have that stigma attached to him with two bad ankles and a bad hip. Now people are going to say that he's not sturdy enough to handle it. But boy, he just had a. If you look at his yards per completion, his yards per attempt. He's had some good receivers, but one of the most accurate passers I've ever seen in the SEC.
Here's an off-topic question. I meant to bring this up with Logan earlier this morning. I forgot. So, like, they take Tua, and he goes to Houston, has the surgery yesterday, and now he's recovering. How does that work for, like, his class schedule?
Does he get a break where he can finish his classes later? I mean, I know it doesn't have anything to do with anything, but how does that work?
Over the years, I've seen that happen to some of our players, had a catastrophic injury, or any student, and they go talk to the professors and they give them an incomplete maybe or whatever it might be, or they'll say, look, you can online, you can do so much now too as compared to
the old days.
So I'm sure they'll work with him. And he's a good student, and I don't think he's near as worried about his class.
Nah.
I mean, it's a good point for you, though, because let's just say a guy's trying to stay eligible and he has an injury that puts him out for a couple of weeks, but he wants to come back to the team. I mean, you got to keep taking classes.
Right.
And that's why.
Especially this late in the semester.
That's why they got these rules now where you see some of these guys are ineligible for bowls or the playoffs because they come back for their senior year, but they sign up for these classes, but they don't do much with them, And so they end up being ineligible because they didn't complete the coursework.
Right. Yeah. Also, would this make it more likely or less likely that he comes back next year?
Well, I think there's a lot of risk in him coming back just from the standpoint of the injury factor. Of course, he could get a big insurance policy.
Right.
I just think
it would make it more likely, even though he's going to drop probably in the draft.
They'll come in and test him and look at all that stuff, but I would think he'd declare for the draft.
Yeah. I hope he does.
Absolutely.
We got to next year.
There's a game in September next year.
Exactly.
We play him next year. That's right.
And I'll be rooting for a lot of those guys to go to the draft.
Yeah, the problem is we're going to have a lot, too.
Yeah. Is there a chance there could be that we could see a Tagovailoa quarterbacking them next year?
Well, he's a solid kid, a quarterback. I've watched him some on tape, high school tape.
Yeah.
Not near as big as Tua and as a right-handed guy, but he's got a good delivery and he's very accurate. They got the number one guy from the West Coast after that one that's going to Clemson. Decommitted to USC. He's coming in as a freshman, so I know they're excited about him. So we'll see how he does. But
they'll have a pretty good battle there between Jones and Tagovailoa and the guy you're talking about.
Jones is a solid quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a lot like Jake, really smart, can distribute the ball. And, I mean, their running game is really starting to develop now. And if you can run the ball, then play action is golden.
So also another million-dollar question people want to know, Coach, and just your opinion on this. How does this affect their playoff chances without their star player now?
Well, that's something they'll look at. But as I mentioned a minute ago, they're looking outside in because certainly if they can beat Auburn, that will help them in the case of going against Oregon if Oregon wins. Oregon has won the Pac-12 West, but they still got a couple games left. They got to play Oregon State, who's kind of a better team than they were, but they're not the Beavers of old. But
they're not the Dennis Erickson Beavers of
not,
old.
They're not.
The Ocho Cincos.
Boy, I tell you, we played them one time. They had the ugliest orange and black uniforms. I mean, you thought it was trick or treat, man. It was terrible. But
that Jonathan Smith's done a pretty good job for them.
He's a good coach.
Yeah.
I mean, used to be at Washington, a really smart offensive coach. And they scored a lot of points. And USC is another team that the guy's probably going to get let go at 8-4. You probably figure they'll beat UCLA, but. Boy, you talk about some receivers now. They got the same kind of guys that LSU and Alabama are lining up with. I mean, just some startling guys the way they get down the field and catch the ball. I mean, those West Coast receivers are unbelievable.
But do you, getting back to Logan's question, because the committee, well, at least for the NCAA basketball tournament, they'll say, hey, if there's a number one seed, I remember I think it was Cincinnati with Kenyon Martin a long time ago. He got hurt right before the NCAA tournament. He may have gotten hurt in the conference tournament, and they dropped him a line because their best player's not there. They're still very good, but they're not going to be a number one seed, and maybe that's the way the committee will look at Alabama.
They're going to look at them. Hey, they're not as strong with him being out, and they just got to hope that Penn State or Michigan, Penn State wins this week, Ohio State's out, because even if Ohio State beats Michigan, Penn State, you got to play Rutgers next week, I think.
You think they can beat Rutgers, Penn State?
Yeah, probably.
Boy, hot take of the morning.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
So I think make sure that's right. I think they play Rutgers, but
I got it right.
But
here.
I know that they would win. Win the league because they'd have one loss, but they beat head to head. So and they've already beaten Michigan. So, but they got to hope that Penn State wins, and they got to hope that Minnesota keeps losing. Minnesota can still get in with one loss if they win out. They beat Wisconsin and they beat whoever they would play in a championship game. And, Big Ten's had so much people mad about everything, and this is Jim Delaney's last year as commissioner. I mean, they're not going to let him go without somebody being in the playoffs if there's any way possible. And then still got Oklahoma and Baylor. Both could be 12-1 if Oklahoma beats Baylor. Oklahoma would be 12-1 if Baylor beats Oklahoma. But you just don't see those teams – and I'm an SEC homer. You watch those games, and I just don't see any of those teams going through our league like playing these teams and winning. You know what I mean? Although LSU's defense is not anything to write home for. I was looking this morning, doing a little prep for this show like I do every Tuesday morning.
That's why you're the man.
About 7 o'clock. No, just statistically – in the first game, Sam Ehlinger for Texas got 400 yards passing against these guys. Kyle Trask got 300 yards. Vanderbilt got 38 points on it. They're talking about LSU. Vanderbilt got 38 points. And last week, John Rhys Plumlee got over 300 yards, 200 yards rushing as a quarterback against them. They gave up 600 yards to Ole Miss, a team that's 3-8 right now. So I mean 4-7 right now. So we've talked about it, and then Alabama scored 41 points and had Tua pass for over 400. So I like our chances against LSU. We got to beat Texas A&M, which is going to be. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody here that listens to this show, get your game face on because this is one of the best teams that we've played in Sanford Stadium in a long time. They lost to Clemson by 14 and didn't have a very good day on offense. They lost to Alabama. And they lost to Auburn. Still got to play us, and they got to play LSU. Mm. Any way you look at it, they're going to play two of the top four teams in the playoffs on their schedule. Could play three if some way one of us, if us or Alabama gets in there too, because they could play Clemson, mm-hmm. LSU, and wow, they still got to play LSU the week we played Tech.
I know. Brutal. It's brutal. All right, Coach Donnan's here in the studio with us. If you got a question, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email, 960theref@cmg.com. Hey, light up the open mic, and we'll listen back to them. We'll even try to not preview them for you on the on the air.
That's
right. That's right.
Perry the platypus.
That's right. Perry the platypus. Anyway, yes, send us your questions for Coach Donnan. In fact, Jeremy just said, Dave, how dare you ask an academic question? I know. What was I thinking?
That's a good question.
I got to get away from that.
You got to get the third best fisherman in Lincoln County.
There you go.
That's right. That's right. All right. It's 8:29. Southern Sports Center time brought to you by Dick Ferguson's Quality Men's Clothing. Starting out with the Dogs, Georgia getting set to take on Texas A&M. That'll be a 3:30 kickoff Saturday over at Sanford Stadium in Dooley Field. The Bulldogs, the 13.5-point favorite for the 3:30 kickoff that we'll have for you right here on the Ref. Congrats going out to Monty Rice and Jake Camarda. Rice has been named the SEC's Defensive Player of the Week, and Camarda has picked up the SEC's Special Teams Player of the Week this after Georgia's 21-14 win at Auburn on Saturday. Got Georgia basketball tomorrow night. The Bulldogs taking on Tech here in Athens. It'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off right here on the Ref and the app. You get the top national and local sports stories every 20 minutes. It's Athens, voice of the Dogs, 960 The Ref and the 960 The Ref app.
right, it's Tuesday. That means Coach Donnan's in studio, and he brought a sack full of dimes, and he's playing the jukebox. Coach, what are we listening to?
Skyliner singing "Since I Don't Have You." Listen to this last part.
Since I don't have you.
All right.
By the way, I think Robert Plant and the Honey Drippers did a cover of this. I'm serious.
I'm telling you, you always know those.
Yeah.
These were long before you were born.
No,
that's like 1950 what? It was really old.
Looking at a picture of the Skyliners, it's a dapper-looking bunch.
Yeah, I mean, they actually dressed up in the tux and got that girl singing with them, but they were good.
Hey, welcome back in. It's the Morning Show 960 The Ref. It is presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, and it's Tuesday, which means it's our favorite morning of the week. Coach D in studio, and we're just enjoying the first couple of days of this week, and just that was a fantastic win for Kirby Smart in Auburn. The first time, by the way, that Kirby Smart has won with Georgia on the road against a Western opponent.
Yeah, I guess that monkey's off his back, too. But, you know, we've had a couple inexplicable games going back to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And then Auburn 2 years ago were really good over there. But LSU last year just really still will haunt us from the standpoint of just all the mistakes we made. But that'll help us this year because our kids realize what they can do against them. But, you know, it's just hard to win every game. I'm just telling you, right now, what do you got, like three or four teams undefeated now?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to win every game.
We talked about Jake Camarda winning his SEC Special Teams Rodrigo Blankenship Award of the Week for all the punts that he had. But the pundits will say, well, that means that Georgia had to punt 11 times. That was probably the best defensive line Georgia will have faced all season. Was that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, more than likely. I mean, you still got some games down the road, but we played against I can't pronounce his name for Texas A&M. He leads the nation in lost yardage plays. I think he's number 52. He's a stud, man. But we did some good things on him. And we blocked them a lot of times, but they got such good corners. They can shut you down, and they fly to the ball. But, you know, what's really hard to believe is we had those 9-3 and outs, but we had three major drives that really were big time. I mean, the one that 88 yards, and then the one to end of the half where Gus called timeout for us, and we got situated, and we had a really good call there. We ran a little quick pitch to the perimeter there and just got some really good blocking. And then I tell you, just a major call of we used to call it Dick Tracy. When Dick Tracy used to be a guy out there in the comic strips, and he would do something to just wow you, you know, by coming up with something that you weren't expecting on, hey, Dick Tracy. So, but Coach Coley came out and lined up in a formation that looked like we were getting ready to do the quarterback push where you have the big guys behind and they're going to push the guy. You know, they're really close. And at the last second, we shifted to I wing right and then passed 32 Y sneak. And boy, I tell you, Wolf was wide. I mean, we hit the back in the flat for a touchdown. It was just a really good job of confusing Auburn a little bit. They didn't know where everybody was.
There was one that Wolf, I mean, not, he played well, but he had a drop on one of those. So that wasn't.
Yeah. Wolf was later on, he caught the one, but I'm telling you this.
But he'd get that was a good play, though, the one that we were talking about, that he
and
was open.
The one we threw over the middle, if he catches that ball, you know, game's over. Really,
yeah.
Because we're going to get some good. But first down pass and you don't hit it against a team like that. I mean, you look at the stats. We got zero, like 2 yards in the fourth quarter. I mean, in the time of possession and all that. But the biggest thing about it was we built up a lead and we did a good job. We went to a little bit more zone coverage, and there's nothing wrong with that. When you play man, there's always a chance a guy will beat you deep and all that. So we were making them throw the ball in front of us, and they hit it. And really, we had Stokes intercepts the ball in the end zone. That's another deal. We had that one. And then Monty Rice had old Bo Nix cornered there, and he gave him a little juke and scored the only rushing touchdown we've given up all year.
Hey, Coach, for all the talk this year, I guess you could say, about the inexperience, the lack of playing time, the youth of the Georgia wide receivers, I'm getting pretty excited about this Dominic Blaylock kid.
Well, you should. The thing that was so important important in that play was just for the average fan here that, you know, receivers have some routes where they read the coverage, and you can do it on the outside where, where it's very easy. The guy jams you, then you got to convert to a deeper route. If he's off of you, then you convert underneath. But when you have teams that play too deep, if everybody just stay with me, I don't care if you're baking a pie or what you're doing, you can understand it. If you got too deep coverage, you got two safeties, one's on each hash, and they're both playing half the field. But if you have a three-deep safety, that guy there is responsible for the middle of the field. And we call that, you know, the free safety or the weak safety, a guy that's got a third of the field. So he's got to take care of his middle of the field type still. So the middle of the field can be open, mofo, or it can be closed. You know what I mean?
Clofo.
So if it's closed, that means that the free safety has stayed back and he's playing deep. But if he's bitten, I'm going to get that line. If he's bitten on the fake, then you can run over the top. And in this case, the corner thought he had help over the top, but the kid had bitten on the run fake, and so he read that, and so instead of running a crossing route, he converted to a deep open post, and he had to catch a Willie Mays over his shoulder type catch. But it was a great catch, not only catching it on his, you know, over his shoulder, but also into the sun. He was looking at the sun. So just a brilliant move by him, good coaching by our guys that he could read that the middle of the field was closed, and he took advantage of it.
I love a picture that our man Josh took prior to the game. It was of Dominic Blaylock kind of looking into the sun and gauging what it would look like, and it paid off early that he was able to do that.
Those 3:30 games or 2:30, they're always – the sun's always going down, mm-hmm. and it's tough to get a gauge on it. You know, a 12 o'clock game, you know, it's pretty much straight up, but it's not easy. I mean, you know how – you know, if you're just driving your car and the sun's in your eyes, you got to put the visor down. I mean, the same thing – catching the punt, and he's done a great job with that all year. I know his dad, when I was at Oklahoma, his dad, Mookie Blaylock, was a tremendous basketball player. He ended up playing with the Hawks, but we had that run going in football, but they also played for the national championship in 89 in basketball, and Mookie was a big part of that team. I mean, he was a tremendous quickness, you know, could steal the ball, pickpocket, good hands, and Dom's mother was a volleyball player, so he's got good genes. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he's been around athletics his whole life, and he's very mature. I mean, you know, he's starting to be a go-to guy for us. I thought we would have probably ended up throwing more to Pickens, but we didn't have him run enough plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, good Lord, we ran under 50 plays in the game. I mean,
which is funny because there were a bunch of possessions and just not a lot of plays run. That's what happens when you have a bunch of three and outs.
Coach, early in the game, during the broadcast, I know you were watching, that they did sort of have a little flashback, CBS, back to the 1996 game and the four overtimes. We, as the average fan, we watch that and we have a nice little good memory. But what is it like as the coach of that team when they have a throwback like that? Did you know they were doing that, or was that kind of catch you by surprise too?
Dave McMahon, who works for CBS, but he works locally, does some stats for people around here, does a great job. He sent me a heads up that they were going to do it, because usually at halftime you go get something to eat or something. So I watched it. It was a great memory. And for us, it was just a standpoint of, you know, really kind of a program solidifier, finally getting a big win on the road. And we came back and got screwed by couple bad calls against Ole Miss the next week, but I'm telling you, that was one that kind of got our players believing in everything and really turned it around for us.
Coach Donnan's here in the studio with us, so we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email, 960theref@cmg.com. Got that open mic feature on the new app, Logan. All you got to do is tap the app and then hit the open mic, and then you can let us know what you think just by talking into your iPhone or your Android, kind of like you were making a phone call. And if you're driving through a busy intersection, do it while you're holding your phone up.
No, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that.
I'm sorry.
Let me tell you how easy that open mic is. I taught my mother-in-law how to do it.
Wow.
That's all you need to know, is that it's a miracle. And she said it was easy. And if she says it's easy, it's easy.
It's easy.
Yes.
There you go.
Haven't heard from her yet. Still waiting on her first open mic.
Yeah, I know. We haven't had a female open mic. We'd like to have one. We'll put it on the air.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah, ask me.
Yeah. By the way, so we got an email yesterday from Katie. Speaking she's of, way hipper than we are.
Absolutely.
But it said something about TikTok, and then I was
zoned
lost.
Out.
I was like, lost.
What is that?
She said what?
Exactly. Exactly.
She said, I'm going to keep you guys cool, and she puts that in parentheses. Here's a TikTok I saw this weekend that was amusing. I went, a what?
So TikTok is a short video.
Yeah.
That's what you need to know. The youths love it.
So what was it about?
Iggy Azalea.
Who?
Okay, Iggy.
A female rapper doing something.
You've lost me and Coach both.
And me too.
I've heard of Iggy.
Okay, yeah. Coach knows Iggy.
Yeah. Maybe we'll preview that during the break and see what it is. But we always appreciate Katie trying to keep us hip. Yeah. So basically what she was saying was, since you guys aren't hip, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you a shot.
We love Katie, and we appreciate it.
That's good. We need to branch out a little bit, but we're not going to play any hip hop as long as I'm on this show, though.
Yeah.
We
all
got
right,
the
oldies
for that.
All right, so one of the big differences in the game on Saturday, Georgia did not turn the ball over, and Camarda was really, really good. And it wasn't a Rodrigo Blankenship game other than the kickoffs, which he was good on those. But in Auburn's possessions, opening drive, they missed a field goal. Not to say that cost them the game, but it certainly was a little bit of a tempo setter there for Georgia. Auburn, take us through each of these plays, because you'll remember them when I say them. They had a fourth down at close to Georgia territory, and they tried a running play that ended up being a 13-yard loss back to midfield.
Ended up in a wildcat, inexplicably. I mean, you know, if you're going to run the ball against us and you line up one guy back there, it's going to be hard to make it. I'm just saying, especially on fourth down. I mean, you basically sell the ranch and say, dare you to throw the ball. They did throw the ball in the wildcat when we call a timeout on the goal line. They tried to run that Tim Tebow jump pass.
Yep.
But we were all over it. And, you know, the first field goal they kicked, they were going for it on fourth down, and then we called timeout because of the formation they were in, and then Gus thought about it, decided to go for the kick. And I remember on Bulldog Friday night, you and I were talking about the game. In the back of that kid's mind, going into the game, we had a kicker that had made 4 out of 5 in the game, and he'd missed 3 out of 3 mm-hmm. against Ole Miss the week before, so it was on his mind. And then he kicked it straight, but, I mean, you know, he was on the hash and he kicked it straight with no pull on it.
All right, the next one, they drive into Georgia territory, and I don't know if it was a bad snap, but Nix fumbled it and LeCount ended up recovering.
Yeah, that was big when
– That was with 3:18 to go in the first half.
Yeah, they were moving in to maybe, you know, tie the game or kick a field goal, and we ended up really I think somebody hit him, and then
Jermaine Johnson.
Johnson, and we ended up recovering the fumble, and then they decided to, call a timeout, trying to protect their. They knew we were getting the ball first, which was a good timeout. But then, like I said, we ran the toss sweep version of our toss sweep out of one back, where we cracked the X on the
right
weak side jack, and then pull the tackle, and Thomas did a good job on a perimeter, and just a spin move by Swift, and a really good catch by Kyaris Jackson on that drive.
Yes, and it's good having him back. His injury against Vanderbilt, I think, was underrated this year about important injuries. All right, so this one I'll ask you before we go to the break. Following the fumble, Georgia goes 3 and out, Auburn gets the ball back, and then there's only a minute 40 to go, but they can't do anything.
Right, that's when they call the timeout.
Yeah, and then here's what I want to ask you, maybe the key moment of the entire game, if you want to say one moment of the entire game. We get the ball back on our 19-yard line with a minute 19 to go, and on first down, Georgia doesn't get anything, and Gus calls timeout.
Yeah, it was a good timeout. I mean, I mentioned that a minute ago. I thought you were talking about that series.
But yeah.
It was a good timeout by him because, hey, we're backed up. We hadn't been moving the ball. He's got a good defense, and he's going to try to make us punt and maybe have good field position. But we ended up making, 81-yard march, and just some really big plays in there. A couple good draw plays, too. One of them was huge, you know, that set up the touchdown. Yeah, and
26-yarder by Swift.
And, you know, that was, you know, we went minute 19, we went ever how far we went. That was great.
Minute 19, yeah, like you said, 81 yards.
I don't question him for calling a timeout, though. I
think, but he seemed like he was catching a lot of grief for that timeout.
Well, I mean, they're going to give him a lot of grief for a lot of
Well,
things,
that's true. That's true.
$7 million a year, I mean. But.
And he even said when he was coming off the field, that was the first thing that he was asked by the sideline reporter, and he's like, yeah, you know. Well, so I was kind of surprised that he kind of.
Percentage-wise, if you've got a great
defense, but I agree with what you're saying.
The other team has only scored one touchdown on a pass play, and you got them backed up, and you got three timeouts left, I'm going to call a timeout every time, make them show they can make it. But once we got in the rhythm there, you know, it ended up not being a great move by them calling timeout.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, you look back on it, and that ended up being one of the big things. And then
In the game at 7 points.
Yeah, absolutely. And then late in the game, I know there was the Walker sack, but the possession before that, and Kirby even said, he's like, we didn't get a stop there. We got a break because Nick's, you know, missed his receiver.
Yeah, I mean – every guy that's ever played quarterback that's listened to the show, you've had those, well, I wish I had it over. And he just he rushed that pass. And
yeah.
He really, there's only one way to say it. He took the gas, man. I mean, he just didn't throw it like he needed to. And a lot of good things got to happen on a pass. You got to protect, you got to throw it, and you got to catch it. They protected, he threw it, and they didn't catch it. It was a bad pass. And the youth of his situation hurt him a little bit. And you go back to Jake, who didn't have a great game throwing the ball, but every time he had to hit a pass that we had to have, he hit the one in the flat to Harry and perfect, the same kind of pass, and Harry and stuck it in.
Yep.
And the same thing with Wolf. He hit him in the end zone, and then he hit Wolf in the fourth quarter right in the shoulder pad.
Yep.
So Wolf's made some big catches for us. I mean, that would have been solidified the Florida game and the Auburn game if he'd have caught that one.
All right, Coach, you're in the studio with us. Quick timeout. It's 8:51.
Just a dream, just a dream.
Just a dream.
All our plans and all our schemes. How could I think you'd be mine?
All right, 8:55. It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. What do we got here, Coach?
Just a Dream by Gus Malzahn, hoping he can beat Georgia.
Which is just a dream. That's right.
See, I didn't know Gus did some.
Hey, look at that picture of Gus. Look at Gus. He's a good-looking young man.
Man. I had to bust him.
That's funny.
That was just a dream.
Jimmy Clanton.
Well, Jimmy can do it.
All right, when we come back on the other side, we've only got about 30 seconds here.
Really,
we come back on the other side, we're going to, you know, like we like to do, we finished talking about the previous
week.
Away. That's right. We got to look ahead.
We got to get some good preparation this week.
Tough game coming up.
These guys are tough as nails, hard as bricks, the Harvard class of 56. I mean, they're going to be that's one of our coach used to say that when it's a good team, he'd say that. So
Jimbo Fisher, he might say that too. We'll find out. All right, Coach Donnan here in the studio with us. One more hour to go with the coach. It's 8:57.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.